We're hoping on some Zion Omer Aleph right after the Mishnah. We started learning yesterday about cases. We learned in the previous perek that the procedures for an Ola Sa'if and a Chata Sa'if are different in many ways. As far as how many simonim are cut through by an Ola, both of them, by a Chatas only one, as far as what happens with the blood with an oiler, you press the head and then the body against the mizbeach to squeeze out as much blood as possible. Whereas by a chatas, you first take the body with the head still attached and squirt the blood in the direction of the mizbeach, and afterwards you do mitzuri, pressing it against the wall. And there's a difference that by an oiler, an ola sa'if is done on the top half of the mizbeach, and a chata sa'if is done on the bottom half. And then you have what happens with the korban itself. An ola sa'if is completely burnt on the mizbeach. A chata sa'if, nothing is burnt on the mizbeach. It all goes to the kohenim to eat. So we started talking about in this parak what happens if you did them. What happens if you did them differently? What we said that you have, for example, an ola that was done as a chatas, or a chatas that was done as an ola. Then in some cases it will be outright pasul, in some cases it will be kosher, but the owner is not yotze with it. Now the Mishnah had then, or the next Mishnah, which is the last Mishnah that we learned at the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Beis, in the top of our Amud, talked about if an ola sa'if was done lamata on the bottom half of the mizbeach, and the procedure was done like a chatas, and it was done l'shem a chatas, so will me'ila apply to it? So now the thing is, me'ila applies to an ola. Me'ila applies in various ways to all korbanos, but the difference is that once a korban becomes mutter for the kohenim or the owners to eat, then the ila goes away from it. So in the case of a chatas ha'oif, since once the blood is squirted onto the mizbeach, then there's nothing more that goes to Hashem out of it. All of it at that point goes to the kohenim, so the ila wouldn't apply to it anymore. On the other hand, an ola, the ila continues to apply until it's burnt on the mizbeach, because it still remains, it still has to be given to Hashem. Still has to be burnt like that. So now the question is that here you have a brood that was supposed to be an oila, and instead everything in it was done as a chatas. So we have a machloikas in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether me'ila will still apply to it. Rabbi Yezer says yes, Rabbi Yeshua says no. And the Mishnah had gone back and forth with an argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer trying to prove his point that Me'ilah should apply, and each time Rabbi Yeshua shoots him down and points out that his Kavachoymer or his Mamatsinu is not going to be valid. Because a chatas in and of itself is not something to which Me'ilah is relevant once the blood is squeezed out. So therefore, now when he did it as a chatas, then he transformed it into something where me'ila doesn't apply, and therefore indeed me'ila shouldn't apply, even though this brood was supposed to be an ola. And then at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua points out that another point as well, after all, is that other korbanos, with animal korbanos, if you try to transform one into the other, the fact is with animal korbanos, you always have something of it goes to Hashem, the blood and the emurim, and something of it goes to the emurim in particular, and then in the case of an ola, all of it, and usually some of it, except for an ola, some of it goes to others, namely the koyanim in the case of a chatas and an asham, the owner in the case of a koyanim and the owner in the case of a shlomim, etc., whereas by a chatas oif, there's nothing after the blood is squirted out that goes to Hashem, that goes to the Mizbeach, and therefore, so don't compare it to other kinds of changes and transformations in Korbanos. That was the gist of the Mishnah. So now the Gemara continues. So now the Gemara picks up with a Braisa. Now the Gemara starts with a Braisa that picks up that argument and carries it forward. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Let's prove my point that Me'ila should still apply to such a korban from a case of an osham that a person that he shechted in the north, which is where an osham is supposed to be shechted, l'shem shlomim, but he had in mind that it was a shlomim, yechiyach. So let's prove from that let's prove from that. Shoshina Shmoy, he transformed the name of it. He made it from a, he's trying to make it from an Oshem into a Shlomim. Umoylenboy, and nevertheless, an Ila still applies to it before the Zrika. Now, Rashi points out we have to be talking about before the Zrika, because again, after the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, at that point, an Oshem is able to be eaten by the Kohenim, and by the definitions that we were saying before, Me'ila should no longer apply. And Rashi also adds the point, after all, he was talking about an Oshem, Shaloi L'Shmoi doesn't pass on Oshem, so the fact that he transformed it, the fact that he shechted it as a Shlomim, doesn't pass on it. It means the owner is not Yotze, is Oshem, and has to bring another one, but nevertheless, before Me'ila, but before Zrika, before the blood is actually sprinkled, Me'ila will still apply. Tosfos actually points out that it might actually be talking about even after Zvika, because Rabbi Eliezer, after all, holds, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that an Oshem is also possible if it's done Shalom L'Shmoy. So he may be talking about that. But Pashtos Rashi may not want to explain it that way, because again, Rabbi Eliezer is trying to prove the point to Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold of that concept. Anyway, it continues Rabbi Eliezer, so then don't be so surprised about an Ola Sa'oif, the subject of our Mishnah, that even though he changed the name, even though he did it as though it were a chattas, nevertheless, that me'ila should apply to it all the same. So therefore, so that's another proof, says Rabbi Eliezer, on top of what he had said in the Mishnah, that me'ila should still apply to this korban, even though had it been to begin with a chattas oif, and it was actually brought as a chattas oif, then once the blood had been squeezed onto the mizbeach, Me'ila would not apply anymore. But here, where it started out as an Ola, to which Me'ila continues to apply, says Rabbi Eliezer, then the fact that you did it as a Chatas shouldn't change that. Omer Loi Rabbi Yeshua. However, Rabbi Yeshua says Loi, that's not a valid proof. Because you know what? Your scenario, yes, you have an Oshem, you're changing the name, you're shechting it as a Shlomim. But after all, you're not changing the place of it. You're still shechting it in the north, as in your scenario. So how do you compare it to the Ola Sa'if we're dealing with over here, where one of the things that he did differently with it to make it like a Chatas is that he did it on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, which is where a Chatas Sa'if belongs, and not on the top half, which is where an Ola Sa'if belongs. So that's a bigger transformation, and that's reason enough to say that maybe Me'ila should no longer apply, given that Me'ila doesn't apply to a Chatas Sa'if after the blood is taken out of it. So your proof from an Oshem is not a proof. Omer Lo Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Eliezer says, Oshem Sheshach Tabad Dorem, L'Shem Shlomim Yechiach. Fine, then in that case, I'll prove it from a case of an Oshem that was shechted in the south, having in mind that it was a Shlomim. Let's prove from that. Sheshinas Shmoy, Veshinas Mekoymoy, there he changed the designation from Oshem to Shlomim. There he also changed the place, because an Oshem would have been shechted in the north, and then here he shechted it in the south of the Azara. Umoylenboy, and Me'ila will still apply to it. Again, according to Rashi, we're talking about before the blood was sprinkled, and according to Tosfos, maybe even after it. So don't be so surprised about the Ola Sa'if of our Mishnah, that even though he changes the name and he changes the place, that Me'ila should still apply. Because you didn't like my comparison from an Oshem Shech in the north. Fine, let's say the Oshem was Shech in the south. The din is still going to be the same, says Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Loi Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua says still not. Loi, no. Ima Mauta Ba Oshem Sheshinas Shmei Veshinas Mekomei Veloi Shinas Maisav. The fact is, though, the procedures for a Shlomim and an Oshem are both the same. The Shchita is the same. Okay, the location of it is different, but the actual Shchita is the same. The actual Kabbalah Sadam is the same. Even the application of blood to the Mizbeach itself is the same, because both of them are Shema Tana Shrein Arba. So, Veloi Shinas Maisav, so you can change the Maisin, therefore you can argue that it still has some of the characteristics of an Oshem, and therefore Me'ila should still apply to it. I forgot to mention before, by the way, as far as a Shlomim, the rule is Me'ila does not apply to the Shlomim from the beginning. It only applies after the korban's been shechted and the blood has been sprinkled. Then at that point, Me'ila applies to the Emurim, which are meant to be offered on the Mizbeach. As opposed to an Oshem, it's the other way around. Me'ila applies to it from the beginning, from when he designated it as an Oshem until until after the blood is sprinkled, and then at that point, then Me'ilah no longer applies to it, because now you have, well, Me'ilah no longer applies at least to the meat of it, because the Kohenim are going to be eating it. Whether Me'ilah applies to the Imurim of the Oshim, I'm not sure, but I don't know if it makes a difference to our Sugya. In any case, Rabbi Yeshua says that your example involving an Oshim, sure, you change two out of the three things. You change the name of it from Oshim to Shlomim. You change the location from north to south, but you did not change the actual procedure, because as an Oshim or a Shlomim, you're doing the exact same thing. Talking about the Ola, how are you comparing to the Ola Soif that we're talking about over here, Tashina Shma, Ve'es Ma'aseha, Ve'es Mekoma. By an Ola Soif, he changed all three things. So therefore, I have good reason to say that that's not comparable to your case, and therefore it's considered in effect completely like a Chatos, to which Me'ilah should no longer apply. Within that, by the way, there are Mephoshim that talk about, is it basically that at that point the Korban's considered dead, and therefore Me'ilah will no longer apply to it, or maybe it's because the Korban becomes the new kind of Korban that it was transformed into. In other words, it becomes a Chatos. Further on, the Gemara is going to talk about that, is going to expand on that possibility, that it might be that we're going to try to see that maybe according to Rabbi Yeshua, the korban actually becomes what you did it as. So even though it was supposed to be an ola, it kind of becomes a chatos, maybe not completely, maybe it's still, the owner is not yotzer, maybe it's still possible, but at least, in other words, that it has the din of a chatos as far as me'ilah. Thus far the b'raisa. Omar Rava. So Rava says we have to consider that why did the argument stop there? The name alay, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer answer Rabbi Yeshua? Let's take another case. Oshem sheshachta b'adonim l'shem shlomim b'shinui b'ilim. How about two from the case of an Oshem where he did it as a shlomim, and we did it in the south and as a shlomim, and there was shinui b'ilim. He had in mind a different owner, where we're going to assume that having a different owner in mind is considered to be a difference in ma'isim. Rashi says, Shinui Bailin, Kishini Maisa Chotiv La, Rava is considering that a difference of who it's being brought for, we're considering that as though it was a Shinui Maisa. So let's say we have that case. And nevertheless we see that Me'ilah still applies to it. So why shouldn't the same thing apply to our case of the Ola Soif over here? So Rava continues, Mi Deloy Ka'om Alehachi. Now given that Rabbi Eliezer does not point that out to Rabbi Yeshua, Shmamina Nochis Rabbi Eliezer, L'taymid Rabbi Yeshua. That means that at this point, Rabbi Eliezer realized, why is Rabbi Yeshua saying this? All this time we've been talking about that Rabbi Yeshua is saying, because this kind of korban Me'ilah is subject to, and this kind it's not, and the destination, the type of korban that he did it as, is a chatas, where Me'ilah doesn't apply after the Zrikas Adam, and therefore, after the blood is applied to the Mizbeah, and therefore Me'ilah shouldn't apply. Now Rabbi Eliezer realizes a new dimension in what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. This case of the Ola Sa'if, where everything was changed in it, like the procedures of the Chatas. It was done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, like the Chatas. It was done according to the procedures of the Chatas, in as far as the Malika and as far as the application of blood, and it was L'shem Chatas. Rabbi Yeshua says, Kivin Shemolak Basimon Echad, then once he did Malika of one of the two Simonim, which by Chatas is all that's necessary, Nimsheches, it actually gets drawn forth, the Nasas Chatas Oif. It actually becomes a Chatas Oif. So in other words, all this time, we didn't realize. We thought that Rabbi Yeshua is just saying, because a chatas is something that Me'ilah is not subject to, and he did it as though it were a chatas, so therefore Me'ilah goes away. Now we're saying, Rabbi Eliezer understands Rabbi Yeshua to be saying, it's not a matter of an if. It actually becomes a chatas oif. We're going to talk about the end of the Sugya. We'll learn tomorrow about Hashem. Maybe not 100% like a chatas. In particular, the owner won't be yotze, and the korban might be possible. But at least right now, Rashi explains that the Gemara is understanding Rabbi Yeshua to be saying, and that Rabbi Eliezer in turn understands Rabbi Yeshua to be saying that it's 100% kosher chatas. So when it came to an osham that was done as a shlomim, then it never actually becomes a shlomim. But over here it actually becomes a chatas, and therefore so Rabbi Eliezer didn't bother pointing out to Rabbi Yeshua, well, what about in this case where he changed the bialim as well, because now at this point he realizes, now that Rabbi Yeshua mentioned all three things, up until now in the argument, Rabbi Yeshua was mentioning only some of the things. We mentioned Shina Makomo, Shina Shema, etc. Now Rabbi Yeshua pointed out, you also have Shina Maisav. So everything has been done like a chatas instead of an ola. Now at this point, Rabbi Eliezer realizes, so that's what Rabbi Yeshua means. It's not just a matter that some of it was done like a chatas, because every single thing was done like a chatas, it now fully becomes a chatas. So therefore he stopped the argument there, because fine, he's not willing to accept that principle, but at least he doesn't have anything within what Rabbi Yeshua himself would agree to contradict that. All right, so now let's talk about this matter of Hamshacha. So we have this idea, Nimsheches, that one korban can in effect be able to be transformed into another one, and again at this point the Gemara is assuming that it means that it becomes completely, that's an actual kosher chatas. Before you do deal with the question, I mean, in general, you can't bring a chatas just voluntarily. A chatas has to be something either that a person did in Aveda that makes him chayav a chatas, or it has to be something that he has a physical condition that makes him chayav a chatas. For example, tzaras or giving birth or what have you. So how exactly are we doing that this is going to turn into a chatas? So one answer from the Achronim is maybe we say a chatas can't be, but neder and a dava, meaning that if you're going to be makdish it and you don't have it, you can't, for example, one day out of the blue say, you know what, I'm makdish this bird or this animal as a chatas and bring it when you're not actually chayav a chatas. But here what it actually is, that because the avoidus of it, because the procedures of it were done like a chatas, so therefore it can actually become a chatas even though the owner is not actually obligated to do on it. So again, the end of our braisa is going to be saying that the end of our sugya, which we'll learn on Daf Samaches, is going to talk about that maybe the korban after all is possible, but nevertheless it can still have the status of a chatas, and this and enough to take it out from the category of me'ila. Okay. So the Gemara asks, so now let's focus on this matter of Hamshacha then. So it comes out that now we're saying that Rabbi Yeshua says when the procedures of a korban were done completely like those of another one, and at least in the case of bird korbanos, then we're going to have this Hamshacha, we're going to have a korban transforms into another kind of korban. Well, the question is, well, then the other way around, if you start out with a bird that was supposed to be a chatas, and he did it lamaila on the top half of the mizbeach, which is where an oila sa'if belongs, and he did it kemaisa, and he did it kemaisa, kemaisa oila, and he did it like the procedures of an oila, cutting through both simonim. Okay, we learned at the end of the previous paragraph, in the beginning of this one, that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon will hold that doesn't make a difference. That by chafas sa'if you could also cut through both, but according to the chachamim, we said that you can't. So let's deal within the opinion of the chachamim. So by the same logic, you should say that if the chatas ha'oif was done l'mayla, k'maisa oila, and it was also l'shem oila, are you going to say miki molik bas simon echad? Are you going to say that as soon as he does malika of one simon, which would be enough that it was enough to make it a chatas at that point, ki moshach to have it oila sa'oif, then it should be nimshach also, and it should become completely like an oila sa'oif. Because at this point the Gemara is assuming that given that by a chatas you only need one simon, by an oila it doesn't yet count for anything. So before it ever became a full Ola, it already is becoming a Chatas, because it's Lamaila, where it's a, or no, in this case it was a Chatas that he's doing as an Ola. But nevertheless, you would say that once he does one Simon in it, Lamaila, Timosha, but to have Ola Sa'if, maybe it should go, and then maybe it should be Nimshach, and it should become an Ola, so it should become an Ola Sa'if. Now again, Rashi explains that the Gemara is wondering that it should be covered. The Gemara is wondering not so much as far as the matter of Me'ila, but as far as the matter of that it should be a fully kosher carbon. Just the same way as we just explained about the Ola that was done as a Chatas, that it becomes a fully kosher Chatas. We should say the other way around, that it becomes a fully kosher Ola in our case over here. Now the Mishnah had said before that no. The Mishnah had said that the first Mishnah of our Perek had said that no. Are you going to tell me that's not like Rabbi Yeshua? So you're going to say fine, that Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yeshua, no big deal. The problem is Rabbi Yochanan tells us in the name of Rabbana that this is the how the Mishnah is to be understood. Hatsah literally means like Masiyas Amitah, spreading out the bed. This is how we spread out, and this is how we explain the Mishnah. My lav. Now what does Rabbi Yochanan mean by that statement? My lav. Kachiyatsa v'tuloi. Maybe it means that, in other words, the way we see the Mishnah in front of us is exactly what it is. No more than don't try to derive in Rabbi Yeshua's opinion any more than what he says. He says that an Ola Sa'if that's done with all the procedures of a Chatas and the Shem Chatas and in the place of a Chatas and all that becomes a Chatas. So you would say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that's the only case where Rabbi Yeshua would say that, whereas by the other way around, the case of an animal that was supposed to be a Chatas and became an Ola is now going to be the other way around, and is now not going to be the other way around, and Rabbi Yeshua would agree that it's possible. So in that case, then why, if we have this concept of Hamshacha of a Chatas of an Ola Sa'if being able to become a Chatas, why shouldn't it be the other way around as well, that a Chatas should be able to transform into an Ola? And the answer is like, that's not necessarily what Rabbi Yochanan means. What he means is Chatzah Shokula Mishnah. He means that this is how you spread out, and this is how you explain the entire Mishnah. The same way as they argued about an Ola that was done as a Chatzah, the same way they're arguing about a Chatzah that becomes an Ola. And Rabbi Yeshua would hold a Ramshacha there also. Yes. What Rabbi Yeshua is saying, then the second Mishnah would apply to both Mishnayos, and we would say that in both cases Rabbi Yeshua would hold on the concept of Hamshacha. Yes, we could understand that way. We could understand. So again, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua hadn't mentioned this whole concept of Hamshacha. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua had just seemingly said that the point is that he's transforming it into something to which Me'ila doesn't apply, and therefore Me'ila doesn't apply, and we don't care whether it actually becomes a Chatas or not. Now we're saying, and now Rabbi Adi Bar Ava is telling us a new understanding in what Rabbi Yeshua says, that the reason it's not just a matter of Hamshacha. It's a matter of that the carbon actually becomes a different carbon, and once it becomes a different carbon, then the Ila falls away as usual with a Chatzas after the Zrika. However, the Gemara says, Rav Ashi says not necessarily. There's a difference. There's still a reason. We don't have to Zetzayin what Rabbi Yochanan is saying that way. We could instead say that Rabbi Yochanan means exactly what we assumed him to mean in the beginning, that Rabbi Yeshua holds of this din only by an Ola Sa'if that was done by a Chatas, but not the other way around, a Chatas Sa'if that becomes an Ola, because Rav Ashi Yomer, Bishlema Ola Sa'if Sha'asa Lamata, K'maise Chatas L'Shem Chatas, it's easy to understand why Rabbi Yeshua would say that an Ola Sa'if that was done, everything like a Chatas, Lamata, and in the procedures of a Chatas, and in the name of a Chatas, you know what? Consider like this. Kim and Daha Hashed of a Siminah. A Chatas Sa'if, you only need the malika that makes it a kosher, that malika that would make it a kosher chat, that would have made it a kosher, that would make it a kosher chatas, is the simen echad, v'ha hechshed v'shnei simanim, as opposed to an ola, you need to cut through both simanim, and v'ola sa'if l'mata lesser, and we know that an ola sa'if is not done on the bottom half of the mizbeach, so therefore, let's consider what happens when he's doing it on this on the bottom half. Given the Moloch Bar Simon Echad, once he does the Malika of one Simon, it never actually became an Ola yet, because in order to become an Ola, in order to be a Kosher Ola, it would have to, one point is that it would have to have both Simonim cut through, and he hasn't yet done that. So therefore, we can send him Shechas Venasas Chatas Oif, so therefore, before he ever cuts that second Simon, So before you ever cut that second siman, then it's already on the way to becoming chatas, and therefore we can say hamshacha, and we can say that eventually because it's lamata and because it's l'shem, and because now he did it lamata, and he's already having in mind that it's l'shem chatas, and at this point he does one siman, which is all you need for a chatas, so therefore we can say. So therefore we can say at that point it becomes a chatas and nimshechas v'nasas chatas oiv. So before it ever becomes posel as an oila, if he were to cut through both simonim, you could argue that's posel as an oila because it's lamata, but here it never even reached that point yet because he only did one simon. There's an explanation from Revelva Brisker that explains that, let's say, for example, we could be talking about, as we said, as we learned at the end of the previous Kedek, that let's say he did Shehiya, that he delayed between doing one Simon and the other, so therefore there's no way now to make it a Kosher Oila, and therefore it remains a Hakas. We could be talking about the Roiv Buster, about cutting through the majority of the muscles over there. So we could say that in that case, he did something to make it a chatas, and it has not yet happened, or it may never happen, what would be needed to transform it into an ola. And therefore, since it's also lamata, and it's also l'shem chatas, then Rabbi Yeshua will hold up this concept of hamshacha, that now it becomes a chatas. Ela, chatas ha'oif. But consider the other way around, says Rav Ashi, it's not the same thing. Kiven de omamar, melika b'chomokim tshera. Now, we learned in the previous parak, that when it comes to an ola sa'oif, the malika can be done anywhere. The ola sa'oif, we said the malika has to be done at the top of the mizbeach. We've learned it from a pasuk, from Malak v'hiktu. But a chata sa'oif we don't have like that. A chata sa'oif, the malika can be done anywhere on the mizbeach. So therefore, mikim malak bas simen echad. So then, when he does the malika of one simen and he has in mind that it's an ola, ifsala, at that point, then we have a chatas which he's doing shaloi l'shmo, and a chatas shaloi l'shmo is pasul. Ki hodem malak v'idich simen. And now, if he's going to do the malika of the second simon, and you want to argue that now we should apply hamshacha and say that now it becomes an ola, hey, you can't do that. How could it have mishicha? How could it become an ola soif? It's already been taken out of the category of chatas because it became possible by doing the malika of the first simon. And again, the first simon is all you need by a chatas, and he was doing it l'shem ola. So now the difference is an ola is not possible when it's done l'shem a different korban. That would be why, says Rav Ashi, why we could say that hamshacha only goes in one direction, because by a chatas, before it has a chance to become an ola psula, then already it's becoming a chatas kosher, because it's only one simon and a flamata and all of that. But the other way around, when he starts off as a chatas and then he's trying to do it as an ola, once he does one simen, and one simen is all you need for a chatas, but he's doing it the same ola, at that point it already became posel, and it's not going to become an ola again after that. So, the bottom line, if you want to do hamshacha, it has to be before the korban became posel. So an ola that's done as a chatas, then you don't have, it hasn't yet become posel, because as an ola, as it would have been originally, you need both simonim. And by the time you get to here, either he never does the second simon at all, or even if he does, then already because it's lamata and it's l'shem chatas and all of that, then it became a kosher chatas. But in the case of a chatas, therefore, Rabbi Yeshua will say hamshacha. But in the case of a chatas going to and becoming an ola, that's too late. Once you do one simen, then already it's a chatas posel because of shaloi l'shma. So don't be bothered over the fact that again, the first answer of the Gemara was that in fact Rabbi Yeshua does hold of Ramshacha in both directions. Rav Ashi is saying not necessarily that it can actually go only in one direction. Okay. So far that explains Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. But now let's go and analyze this. So now that it explains his opinion in the Mishnah that if an Ola Sa'oif was done as a Chata Sa'oif with all the procedures like a Chata Sa'oif in name and in place and in the actual procedure, then it becomes a Chata Sa'oif. And at this point, the Gemara is assuming that it means Chata Sa'oif, that's kosher, that even the owner would be Yotze with. And therefore, so now, part of that then is a kosher chatas oif. Once the blood is squeezed onto the mizbeach, me'ilah doesn't apply anymore, which is why Rabbi Yeshua says in the Mishnah that me'ilah no longer applies, as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer. Originally, he thought that Rabbi Yeshua's reason has to do with just the fact of the difference between a chatas and an oila insofar as the dinim of Me'ilah, and therefore he was arguing that you even have cases in other Korbanos where you transform into something that's not, where you do it differently as something to which Me'ilah doesn't apply, and yet Me'ilah still applies, but now Rabbi Eliezer finally realizes it's not a matter of, it's not a matter of just doing it like a different Korban, it's a matter that it actually becomes a different Korban. Which you don't have by the other cases, which you don't have by the various cases of animal korbanos that Rabbi Eliezer had mentioned in the Mishnah and in the Braisa. In fact, Tosfos points out, there's also a point when it comes to animal korbanos, you designate a certain animal as a certain korban, and there's no point after that at which it can be transformed into another kind of korban. As opposed to with when it comes to birds, actually, the Gemara mentions in Yuma, we're going to be mentioning it in connection with the next piece of Gemara, that the two times that you have, let's say you often bring a pair of birds. We learned in the Gemara a couple of days ago that you can, lahalacha, bring only one bird as a korban. Usually you bring two, and especially when a person is chayav to bring a korban, a woman who gave birth, or a zog, or the various other cases, then they have to bring one chatas and one ola. Well, what determines which one is the chatas and which one is the ola? There's two possibilities. When you buy them, you can designate one as one and the other as the other, or you keep it what's called struma. We're going to talk about it on the days now, about cane struma, about where you don't specify yet what it is, and you give it to the koyan and leave it up to the koyan to decide which is which. So therefore, we see that the designation of which one is which can be, bad pun, up in the air. So by bird korban, you have more room for hamshacha than you would by an animal korban, Tosfos points out. Tosfos also, in the next Tosfos after that, points out that when are you going to have the concept of hamshacha is you're going to need two things. That is only when you're going to have two factors that are going to require this hamshacha. Things that would have made it possible as the original korban, but kosher as the second korban. So in the case of an ola, Tosfos learns in what Rav Ashi is saying, by an ola, so you have it, if you do it lamata, it's possible, and that you require two simanim and a half a sa'of lamaila. If it was possible lamaila, then you would also have two factors, but you don't. The fact is that malika of a hatas can be done anywhere. It's only the squeezing of the blood that has to be done on the bottom half, and therefore there's reason to say that you can do hamshacha from ola to hatas, but not the other way around. So the Gemara says gufa. Let's get back into what Rav Ada Bar Ava said. Omer Rav Ada Bar Ava, Omer Hori Rav Yeshua, Oyla Sa'oif Shasol Amata Pemai Sechatas Hashem Chatas, that if you did an Oyla Sa'oif and you did it on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, the Malika, that is, where again the Malika of an Oyla of a bird has to be done on the top half, and he did Pemai Sechatas, he followed the procedure of the Chatas and cut through only one simen and did Hazah, squirting the blood from a distance onto the Mizbeach, L'shem Chatas, and he had in mind that it was a Chatas. So we said, Kivin Shemolak, Vasimen Echad, once he does the Malika of the one simen, Nimshechas, Venasas Chatas Oif, then we have Amshacha, and it becomes a Chatas Oif. So now let's analyze that in light of several Mishnayos in Masechta Kinim. So Masechta Kinim, it's the end of it, it's the last Masechta in Seder Kodeshim. We'll be getting to it in Daf HaYomi in a year and a half or so, Be'ez Hashem. It's one of the last Masechtas of the Daf HaYomi cycle. Masechta Kinim deals with, Kinim means nests, and it means, and deals with various cases involving bird korbanos, and in particular about mixtures of bird korbanos. In our Masechta, we're going to have a logo, a bit at the beginning of the next parak. We're going to spend a couple of blocks talking about cases where animal korbanos get mixed up with one another, but by birds, you have much more, it's much more common that they can get mixed up. And on top of that, again, like Tosfos had just pointed out, by birds, not necessarily always to begin with, when they're bored as a korban, are they necessarily designated which is which? So the Masechta there deals with, it's a short Masechta, but it packs a punch, and it deals with all kinds of cases of mix-ups and what happens. It's actually very difficult to understand. In fact, the next few Mishnayos that the Gemara is going to be bringing over here, not this one that we're going to learn now, is relatively straightforward, but the next few after that, the Tiferes Yisrael points out, are among the hardest Mishnayos in all of Shas to understand what exactly the combinations and the possibilities and the dinim are. We have in Pirkei Avos, you know, and in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yezah Chisma says, Kinin u'pischei nida, hein hein gufei halacha. Says Kinin, and the openings of nida, meaning the determination of when a woman's nida cycle begins, as difficult as those are, and as much mathematics and everything as they involve, nevertheless, they're gufei torta, they're essential parts of torta, and don't think they're too hard and we can't be bothered with them. So now the Gemara is going to go through several Mishnayos in Masechet Kinim and try to see if Rav Adaba Abba's principle of Hamshacha fits with them. So Toshma, the Gemara says, come, let's bring a proof. A Mishnah says there in Kinim, and it actually points out, by the way, that the reason why, now here we're talking within Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, because Rabbi Yeshua is the one whose opinion we're dealing with. He's the one who holds of the concept of Hamshacha. Well, the Gemara is going to say further on that Stam Kinim Rabbi Yeshua, the same way as in most of Shas, we usually say that Stam Mishnah is according to Rabbi Meir. Here in Masechet Kinim, Stam Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yeshua. And we see that because at the end over there, after one of the cases that we're going to learn over here involving a bunch of mix-ups with birds, then we're going to have a statement that Rabbi Yeshua says, and therefore the Gemara takes that to mean that Rabbi Yeshua is the author of all the Mishnayos before that. So, a Mishnah says, Chatas lazu v'oyla lazu. Suppose you have two women, one of whom has to bring a chatas, and one has to bring an oyla. Now, the fact is these dinim don't just apply to women. The dinim of Masechta Kinim apply equally well to women and men. However, most of the time when we talk about kinim, we're usually going to be phrasing it in the feminine. It's more common for women to have to bring brood korbanos, because they have to bring them every time a woman gives birth, many times when she miscarries. On top of that, there's also when she's a zava, for a man, there's also when he's a zav, but a woman is going to end up bringing kinim most of the time, far more often. So there's a couple of points that the Baal Amor on Masechet Kinim points out that it's not just the fact that it's more common, it's the fact that mix-ups like that are possibly more common with women than with men, maybe because women are bringing more such korbanos, or maybe because, or whatever the reason would be. Plus, also, the fact is, when a woman brings a korban because she gave birth or miscarried, or even a zava, it's not, there's no aveda involved, as opposed to a man brings birds. There's always, almost always, there's going to be some kind of aveda or some kind of a bad physical condition, like misurda or whatever involved. So therefore the Mishnah prefers to talk about it in terms of women, but nevertheless the same dinim would apply to men as well. So let's say you have a case like this. So we have two women. We'll call them Rachel and Leah. Each of them gave birth or miscarried, and therefore needs to bring a pair of birds, a chatas and an oyla. Now, let's say, for example, that Rachel already brought her oyla, and Leah already brought her chatas. Now, they're still each missing one korban. So now, they go together, they pool their money together, and they buy a pair of birds, because again, birds were most commonly sold for korbanos in pairs, so it was easier to go do like that. And then they decided, here, we're Rachel and Leah. I, Rachel, still need a chatas. You, Leah, still need an oila. So fine, then let's bring them to the koyan and we'll tell them, in this pair of birds, the oila is for me and the chatas is for me and the oila is for you. Now, again, an oila sa'oif, as we've been discussing in the last couple of blocks, has to be done on the bottom half of the mizbeach. A chatas sa'oif has to be done on the bottom half of the mizbeach, an oila sa'oif on the top. So also shay and lamaila, if now the koyan goes and mistakenly does both of them on the top half of the mizbeach, as if they were both oilas, and the Sfas Emes adds that also it's not just that he did it on the top half, but he did the entire, as we've been discussing in the sugya so far, he does them both exactly like the procedures of a chatas. So if he does them both lamaila, then no good. Mechza kosher or mechza posel. Half of the korbanos are going to be kosher, and half are going to be posel, because the oila is going to be kosher because it was done like an oila, like it's supposed to, but the chatas is going to be posel because it was done in the place of the oila and like an oila. So in short, in our scenario, Leah is going to be good. She only needed an oila, and one of the two korbanos was brought as an oila. Rachel is still going to need to bring another chatas. Stay in Lamata. On the other hand, if he does both of them on the bottom half of the Mizbeach as a Chatas, then you have the other way around, Mechza Kosher or Mechza Posel. Then it's the other way around, half is Kosher and half is Posel. You have a Kosher, a Chatas, and a Posel, oil. So in that case, Rachel's good, and Leah still needs to bring another oiler. Achas l'mayla v'achas l'mata. What happens if he does do them one above and one below, but without keeping in mind which one was which? Shtehem psulas. Then both of them are possible. Shani oimer, because we have to consider the possibility. Chatas kreva l'mayla v'oila kreva l'mata. What might happen? We may have a situation here where the bird that was supposed to be the chatas was done l'mayla and was done as an ola and became possible, and the ola was done l'mata and also became possible. So in other words, what happened was that Tosfos actually points out the Gemara is asking, in other words, that there should be Hamshacha over here, but the fact is there are two different people. The Gemara is going to answer it's two different people, so Hamshacha doesn't work. But what is the Gemara thinking in the first place? So Tosfos says that at least maybe, for example, it could be making a Tanai. If it's possible for one, at least it should help for the other one, if possible. But then Tosfos says that actually, no, what we're talking about is that it was originally said which one was the chatas and which one was the ola. And now, though, he mixed up and he did them without specifying which one is which. And now you have the problem that there may be shini, there's shini bailam involved, if nothing else. But also the point is that that now he didn't keep in mind which one was the chatas and which one was the ola, and it may well be that he mixed them up. So therefore, so in short, in that case, both so no matter what, in other words, they're in trouble like this, because they had pre-decided which one is going to be the chatas for Leah and which one is going to be the ola for Rachel, and now the kohen doesn't know which one he did where. So then again, if he'd done them both lamayla, then at least one of them would be kosher. If he'd done them one lamata, then at least one of them would be kosher. But now he did them both. He did one lamayla and one lamata, so we don't know which one is which, and therefore they're both possible. Now the point is the point of the question then is nihi nami. The Ola Kreva Lamata, granted, in the case where he did both of them Lamata, let's say, fine, the Ola can't completely be kosher, because it was done Lamata. But a point of Adaba Abba's principle, that an Ola can be Nimshach and become a Chatas, Timshach to have a Chatas Oif. So why shouldn't it be transformed into a Chatas Oif? And therefore, at least we have, so if both of them were done Lamata, then we should say that we have two Chatas were brought over there. So fine, the one who was supposed to bring an ola hasn't brought an ola, at least the woman who was supposed to bring a chatas will be kosher monashach. Actually, that's the question which we're talking about over here. That we're not talking about where both of them were done lamata. We're talking about one was lamaila and one was lamata. Where the Mishnah says shtei and psulis. But according to Adav Ava's principle, why shtei and psulis? What you would say is the one that was done lamaila. Sure, we can say it might have been the chatas, and the chatas is supposed to be done lamata, and a chatas can't transform into an oila. Let's say fine, even we accept Rav Ashi's version of Rav Adav Ava's principle that an oila can become a chatas, but not the other way around. So fine, the chatas will remain possible, but at least we should have the oila that was done lamata. Why are we saying that it's possible? It becomes by Rav Adav Ava's principle, it becomes a chatas, and therefore one way or the other, all we can do is. That if it was Rachel's chatas, then good, and if it was Leah's chatas, then good. She had to bring a chatas. If it were or the other way around, if it was Rachel's chatas, it's good because Rachel's the one who needs to bring a chatas. If it was Leah's, then fine. It's an oila that got transformed into a chatas, and therefore so. But why are we calling it possible? It sounds like whichever one needs to bring a chatas is at least taken care of, and therefore and then now the other one only has to bring an oila. So fine. And we can't say that both of them, because we can't say the chatas can transform into an ola. I'm sure it doesn't work that way, at least the point of Ashi's understanding. But why shouldn't we say that one of them, at least, I'm sure it works, an ola becoming a chatas, and therefore the chatas has been taken care of no matter what? The answer is, no, that's not a proof. And again, if we assume that Mishnah is a point of Yeshua, as the Gemara is doing, then that shows that the principle of Amshacha doesn't work. So the answer is no. Emor d'amar Rabbi Yeshua b'chan gavra. Because you know what? Rabbi Yeshua would be talking about his case where you have one person who has to bring an oila and a chatas. So then you can have amshacha. V'trei gavri mi'amar. Who says he said any such thing where it's two different people? How can one woman's turban count for the other one where she doesn't own that bird? They bought two birds b'shutfus. But the fact is that they pulled together their money and it was one bird belongs to one and one to the other. So therefore, so you can't say that Amshacha, you can't say that Amshacha should allow us to turn Leah's korban into Rachel's. And again, Tosfos deals with over here that even let's say Tosfos learns a little differently. Each one is chayv a chatas and an oila. So now, right now, they're only ready to bring the so Rashi understood that each of them had already brought one korban, and the question was only about the other korban. Tosfos rather learns that we're talking about that each of them is in fact currently chayv of two korbanos, but each of them is right now ready to bring only one. So they brought a pair of birds and they brought it to the kohen and told him, please do one of them as a chatas for Rachel. She can't yet afford to bring her oila. She'll bring that later, and bring the oila for Leah, and she'll bring her chatas later. So now the question is that at least that the one who's a, so now at least you should have. That we're not talking about, so on the face of it, we're not even necessarily talking about two different people. Each one is chayv and oila and a chatas, and we should have that they were done lamaila and lamata respectively. So at least now she should be potter from a chatas, and now she should be chayv only in an oila for the future. And the answer is no, because shrei gavri, it's two different people over here, and the koyan mixes up which one is which. So now you have shinri bailam. So that alone is a reason to postulate, and therefore so you can't say that. So it might work with one person hamshacha. But with two people, you have the additional factor of shinui bailim, and therefore Tosfos says therefore it doesn't work. So we don't have a proof from this Mishnah against the principle of Amshacha, because this is a case with two women and Abada Ba'ava is talking about only where there's one. Incidentally, by the way, so it's interesting, after Tosfos goes through this discussion and explaining our Gemara over here, Tosfos mentions Agav Grada. By the way, we want to explain a mission over there, one of those Mishnayos that deals with various groupings of birds and birds getting mixed up between them, and Tosfos spends a few lines explaining what the Mishnah means over there. Because they figured there's no Gemara on Kinim. There are, in fact, Tosfos on Kinim. So Tosfos does deal with these things over there, but Tosfos found it useful over here also in the Merle of Zvachim, since we're anyway dealing with Mishnayos of Kinim, to explain an otherwise difficult mission over there. So the Gemara goes on. Toshma, chatas va'oila ustuma umufereshes. Let's take another case. The next Mishnah says over there. So now you have also two women, and they brought three pairs of birds. Why? One of them still has an oila to bring. Let's say she had brought her chatas previously. So one of them has yet an oila to bring, but she also has another case where she has to bring a chatas and an oila. Now the din is basically that every time a woman gives birth, she has to bring another korban. You have certain cases that are discussed in Masechta Krisus, certain cases involving Suffolk, where she's able to bring one korban for a bunch of them together. But ordinarily, and there are also certain cases where she miscarries within a certain number of days of the previous birth or the previous miscarriage, and then also she can be yotzeh with the same korban, but many times she's going to have to bring a separate korban for each separate birth. So now, let's say, for example, she had given birth last year and never got around to bringing her both of her korbanos. She had brought only her chatas, let's say. She still has to bring her oila. Now she gave birth or miscarried again, and she has to bring a whole nother cane, a whole nother pair of birds, chatas and oila. And another woman is the same thing, except the other way around. She had already brought her oila and still has to bring her chatas, and now she has to bring another chatas and an oila. So altogether, they needed six birds between them, so they pulled their money and they brought three pairs of birds. Now, again, when it comes to pairs of birds, what determines which one is the chatas and which one is the oila? There's two ways that you could do it. You can buy it as a cane before reshes. You can buy, when you first buy it, you designate this one is going to be the chatas, this one is going to be the oila. That's called kain mefureshes. And then you can instead say, right now I'm not deciding which one is which. That's called kain stoma. Later on, when I bring them to the kohen, then the kohen on the spot will decide to do this one as a chatas and this one as an oila. So now the Mishnah describes a case. So now let's say you have the women One of them is chayev a chatas, and one of them is chayev an oila. And in addition, each one is chayev of chatas and oila. So altogether, we have six birds that need to be brought. Now, let's say so they bought three sets of birds. For the first one, they decided the first one chatas for oila. The first one they specified this bird will be the chatas for Rachel, and this one will be the oila for Leah. Then the second one ustuma. The second one they didn't designate which one is which. They're going to leave it up to the Kohen, and he can deal with it later on. Or mefurashes, and then they bought another one where they said mefurashes. This one's going to be the chatas, and this one's going to be the oila. But they didn't say which one is which. Because remember, we're talking about over here that Rachel has to bring two oilas and one chatas, and Leah has to bring two chatos and one oila. So in the first one they said here, this one will be Rachel's oila and Leah's chatas, and that'll take care of our previous obligations. Now we each have an obligation for another birth that we had, so fine, we're going to buy a second pair and we're going to leave that up to the Kohen to figure out, and then we'll buy a third pair. Right now we'll say that it's one is a chatas and one is an oila, but we're not saying which one is whose. So now, again, so of these six korbanos, three of them are supposed to go lamaila and three lamata, because after all, three of them are chatos and three of them are olas. So now the Mishnah says, also kulam lamaila. So now, if he does them all on the top half of the mizbeach, then mechza kosher or mechza posel. So half of them are going to be kosher and half of them are going to be posel. Why? Because let's work it out. All the ones that were supposed to be a chatas are posel, because a chatas is supposed to be on the bottom half of the mizbeach. So out of the three korbanos, out of the six korbanos, three of them were supposed to be chatos. And those three are going to be posel because they were done lamaila as an ola. And fine, we're saying that's not a problem. That's not the question in Abba Abba, because fine, we were saying before that even appointed of Yeshua, a chatas can't transform into an ola. But the Mishnah continues. Kulam lamata, if he did all of them on the bottom half of the mizbeach, then again, mechza kosher or mechza posel. Then it's the other way around. The olas are going to be posel because they were done lamata, and the chatos will be kosher. But if he does half of them above and half of them below, so within each pair of birds, he did one above and one below without paying attention which one was which. So now there's a bigger problem. The only one of these three pairs of birds that's going to be kosher is the cane struma. Because that one was saying, fine, the Kohen can decide on the spot which one is the chatas and which one is the oila. So fine, he did one above and one below of that pair. So fine, at that point, it becomes determined that one of them is a chatas and one of them is an oila. So fine, so now each one has had one chatas and one oila done. And that one will be divided among them. In other words, we're going to say at this point we don't know. So we know that an oila and a chatas were brought and they're both valid. But we're going to say so the other birds, first of all, we have to dismiss, because the other birds, the first and the third one are both mefureshes. Both of them was pre-specified that one's a chatas and one's an oila. The only difference was we said that in the first one of us also determined this one is Rachel's and this one is Leah's, and the last one we didn't. But the point is, he did all of them, he did half Lamaila and half Lamata. The problem is, we have no way of knowing now whether the one that was supposed in each of those pairs, the first and the third, if the one that was supposed to be the Chatas was done Lamata, where it belongs, or if it was done Lamaila, where it doesn't belong. So therefore, then, so in both of those Kinim Mefurashes, the result is, and the same thing with the Ola, so that, which is what's going to be, what the Gemara is going to ask about, why they don't become Chatos, why do we don't use Amshacha. In any case, the point is, the only one that will be kosher is the Kain Stuma, because that one, fine, it wasn't yet determined which one is the Chatas and which one is the Oila, and therefore now it can be decided on the spot. The question is, though, who's Chatas and who's Oila? So fine, it was Chalekas Benin, it's divided between them, because one will be Yotze one, and the other. What they're going to do is, they're going to have to bring, Rashi explains, they're going to have to bring another Kain, another pair of birds, and they're going to make a Tanai. If the original Oila was done on behalf of Rachel, and the original Chatas was done on behalf of Leah, then now, this one will do the other way around. This one, the Ola, will be for Leah and the Chatas for Rachel, and if not, then the other way around. So that way, they take care of that. Now they only need to deal with replacing the Kinim Mefurashis that became possible. So now we're saying Rilam Mefurash and Lai. So we're saying that both of the Kinim Mefurashim, the first and the third pairs, are not. They're going to be no good. So the question is why? Nihinami de Ola Kreva Lamata. The question is, that even if you're going to say that the Ola was, that even if the Ola did end up getting brought on the bottom half, again, in the case where half of them were done Lamaila and half Lamata, and you're going to say that among the ones that were done Lamata may have been one or more Olas, what's the problem? It should be Hamshach, it should be Nimshach, like Rav Adaba Abba is saying, and it should become a Chatas Orif, and therefore at least the Chatas has been dealt with. So now they should only need to bring one more Ola in partnership, and they just say that it'll be for Rachel and Leah, or it'll be for Rachel or Leah respectively, whichever one still needs an Ola. Why are we saying that all of them except for the Cain Mefuresh, Stoma are possible? Now, Tosfos actually points out that in this scenario over here, we didn't really need to mention three pairs. It would have been enough to just mention that there's a Cain Stoma and a Cain Mefuresh. Now the question is though, the question still is though, that you have you're saying that the Ola is going to become a Chatas, but it comes out then that one of them is going to have two Chatois, and each one within these pairs of birds, there's only one Ola and one Chatas. So how are we doing? As Gemara had said before, Trey Gabri, it's two people, how would that work? So in fact, a couple of Achronim, the Tzon Todshim, the Ponim, the Iris explain, that explains why the Mishnah had to mention that there was also another king. Because that way, so now, in other words, the scenario, as we delineated in the first place, is in fact that one of them is high of two chatos, and therefore the Gemara can argue that Hamshacha should work to make it that we have a second chatos for her, and therefore it's good. So it's true. As far as the basic din of Stuma versus Mefredeshes, we didn't need all three of them, but as far as the point about that they should have it, where one of them is high of two chatois, and therefore the Hamshacha should work, you need the third Cain to be involved as well. The Gemara says, V'chitema hod alok Rabbi Yeshua. So you can answer, very simple, that Mishnah is not according to Rabbi Yeshua, and we're dealing with according to Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, because that's what Rav Adaba Abba is coming to explain. The problem is, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that it doesn't work. How could you possibly say that? We're going to demonstrate from the next Mishnah, which is the last Mishnah of that Masechta, we're going to demonstrate that the author, as we said before, we said that Stam Kinim Rabbi Yeshua. Now the Gemara is going to demonstrate that by quoting the last Mishnah and explaining it, and then we're going to have at the end of it a statement of Rabbi Yeshua, which allows us to say that the entire Mishnah is in fact Rabbi Yeshua adds a thing. He gives a moshel to explain the scenario of the Mishnah, and therefore, so we assume if it was, in other words, if the Mishnah had said a din and then Rabbi Yeshua says another din, then of course it means the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yeshua. Means he's arguing, but here when he at the end of the Mishnah, after the Gemara is going to bring it, and we'll learn it tomorrow, Baruch Hashem, and he goes through Zehu Sha'omer. He says this is the example that they say that we can use a marshal to explain what just went on in the Mishnah over here. So we understand this is Rabbi Yeshua himself illustrating what he had just taught, and that means that Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore the Gemara assumes that this whole sequence of Mishnayos is according to Rabbi Yeshua. So again, then the question is. And the scenario that we just talked about involving the three pairs of birds, if we said Hamshacha, then we shouldn't say that four out of the six birds are possible. We should at least say there's one more that would be kosher. So after we'll learn tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue with the last Mishnah over there, and with the fact and with the proof that it's appointed to be Yeshua, and then the Gemara is going to answer that all this time we've been assuming that Hamshacha allows the korban to be kosher, and the answer is at least it doesn't allow the owner to be yotze, and appointed to Tosfos, it may actually be outright possible. We'll deal with that, and we'll learn about that tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
I just want to add something.